I'm going to start with just an interesting question when we come back to it at the end, maybe. So when Parshas Pinchas talks about the different karbanos, it talks about the daily korban, it talks about Shabbos, Tuber Shkodesh, the Yom Tovim. Only in two places, in all of the places, does it talk about uses the possessive. I'm getting of your months. It doesn't say Barosh Shabbatchem, Ubiyam Shabbatchem. By Shavuos, it says, Ubiyam Kibirim, Bhavim Kibichem, Bishavuos Sechem, and your Shavuos, and your weeks. So in those two, the Torah uses a language which talks about ownership, possessive. Everything else, it just talks about the name of the Yom. It doesn't call it your Yom Dechem. You have in Parshas, back in Parshas Melissa, it talks about Ubamoya Dechem, your festivals. Which, your festivals make sense. It's talking about when you're celebrating, but that is not even used over here. But over here, the Torah uses Losh of Baroshe Chachechem. So the, what is interesting to think about, what does it mean? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh suggests that Torah uses that language because Rosh Chodesh is totally in Bezdin. So the reality is it is your Rosh Chodesh. You make it Rosh Chodesh. The Bezdin will make it Rosh Chodesh. They decide when Rosh Chodesh is. But the Sepurna says a pshat, which is a fascinating idea to think about. He says there's a minhag in Yisrael to make Rosh Chodesh into a holy day. We do things to make Rosh Chodesh Kodesh. We give it elements of Kedusha. That's why the Pasuk uses the language, Chod Sheichem, it's your Chodesh, because you made it the special day. So the Torah is almost writing this, you know, based on what's going to be in the future, that in the future there's going to be a time where Klai Yisrael will come along and will create something unique and special about Rosh Chodesh. And the Torah is putting its imprimatur on that, and that's a good idea, to the point that the Torah references that minute, which will be in Klai, so the Klai is going to do something special for Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Torah uses language Rosh Chodesh.
How does that apply to Shavuos? Is the same logic apply to Shavuos?
I would imagine the logic was simply because you actually had a count, because Shavuos is not tied to any day of the. It's not tied to any day of the month. In our calendar, it's set, but theoretically, if Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. Year, if they would sight the moon early, and they would make Rosh Chodesh year the day before, or they make Rosh Chodesh a day later. So, right now the way it's set up, that there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, Nisan has 30 days, and year has 29 days. So, based on that, Shavuos comes out to be involved in Zion. If both of them would be Mole, both of them would be Chaser, it would be a different day. So it's not connected to any day of the month. So it's Shavuos Sechem after your counting of your weeks. So according to the Sepurna, the Torah is putting a very strong idea that this that Klai Yisrael should make minhagim to define Rosh Chodesh. The Torah didn't define anything, and they should make minhagim. So we find certain minhagim which comes certain halachas / minhagim which come in regards to Rosh Chodesh. So there is no the Gemara says there's an issur of Megillah Tanya says there's an issur you cannot fast on Rosh Chodesh. You cannot say a hesped except for a talmud chacham at the time of the funeral. We can't say a hesped for the end of the shiva, end of the shloshim, whatever it would be, at the time of the levaya for talmud chacham. Otherwise, not. There is a minhag Yisrael, talking about minhagim Yisrael, like you know that if you ever had to attend a levaya on Rosh Chodesh, it says the halacha says you're not supposed to say a hesped on Rosh Chodesh. So that was in a hesped. Just talk about the niftar a little bit. Which I don't really endorse as being the correct way of doing it. That's not what it meant. And then you talk for 15 minutes about the niftar. You basically said yes, but that's not what halacha meant. But we'll call it a minhag Yisrael. That is a custom which is has people are have been using. But there's no chiyuv to eat a suda. And where do you see that? You see that the halacha is a person on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, a person forgot to mention the uniqueness of the day, the more than different posit, you have to mention in your benching and in your tefillah something unique about the day. So that's we accomplish that with the Alav Yavoi or with say in benching. We have unique tefillahs on Shabbos. If a person forgot Alav Yavoi Rosh Chodesh, so it's when he's eating the meal, he doesn't have to go back. Whereas on Yom Tov, a person has to have a meal. They forgot Yalav Yoba, they would have to go back. So this idea that there's no requirement you must eat pas, you must make a meal on Rosh Chodesh. However, the Torah says there is a mitzvah to make a meal on Rosh Chodesh. And he brings multiple different sources. The Beis Yosef finds difficulty with all of the sources. He feels that none of the sources are compelling, that you have to do so.
He says none of them are compelling?
None of them are compelling. The Beis Yosef does not bring down the Zechiyah of Suda. The Ramah quotes the Torah that there's a union of having a Suda. Not a Chiyah of Suda, there's a union of having a Suda. One example is the Pasuk in Baloyska. The Torah sort of lumps that these are days where there's something unique to celebrate.
By
the story with David and Yonason, it says that the Mocher Chodesh, it starts off, you know, that tomorrow's going to be the Chodesh. I mean, you've got it so because he's going to say he went Zevach Mishpach alone, and the family was celebrating together. So these indicate that there was a common thing that they would celebrate and then make a meal. Basically, it says, could be there was the story took place on Chodesh, and there was a family gathering, you know, for some other reason. We don't know what the reason why they were gathering. It wasn't indicative of the fact that it was because of the Rosh Chodesh necessarily. But that being said, the Ramah does say there's an inyan of having some type of a suda and Rosh Chodesh. One suda is sufficient for that purpose. There is a Pesikta. The Pesikta says, we have a famous Gemara in Beya, says that all of the money which a person is to receive during the year is decided on Rosh Hashanah, except for the money that he'll spend on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Talmud Torah. That's how the Moran Beya says it. The Pesikta says Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and Talmud Torah. I once saw Rosh Hashanah that the word Tishrei stands for Tov for Talmud Torah, Shin for Shabbos, Reish for Rosh Chodesh, and Yud for Yom Tov. So in Tishrei, everything is decided except for these four things are merubas in the word Tishrei, that these four things have something unique about them. Is there an union of begadim? So straight halacha is not brought down this union of begadim. The place where the source actually discussion starts is by Chol HaMoed. Is there an union of Chol HaMoed of having a special beged? Mr. Burr comes out that there's not an union of having a special beged, but necessarily, but the person should be wearing something which at least is respectable. In honor of that. Then he does quote that the Mishabura in Hilchos Chol HaMoed does quote that the Maril used to wear his Shabbos coat on Chol HaMoed. Right. There is one place where seems to equate Moed to Rosh Chodesh, so that's where some people get this union of having a beged, something, you know, a person's dress nicer in Rosh Chodesh. But if you go straight in the law, you learn how it was Rosh Chodesh, there's no indication of that, that there's such a fee. Again, this is the idea of the supporter saying there was such an haga doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So,
So Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that you need to wear a special begadim for on Rosh Chodesh?
Correct. The first time I became aware of such an idea is when I came to somebody. I wore the same thing with Rosh Chodesh. So, I was wearing a tie. Why are you wearing a tie? I said, Rosh Chodesh. Oh, okay. Rosh Hashem, so this was very from. There's very clear Gemara that there's no Isser of Asiyas Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. We love to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. However, there's one Gemara which seems to go connected. That there's a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says that why do we have four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed? It says since there's no problem with the Malacha, because they didn't do Malacha anyway, so we could add another aliyah, and it won't be the Mimatrich the Seber that they have to wait longer because there's another aliyah, etc., taken away from their going to work. It would sound like that in Rosh Chodesh they didn't go to work. So the simplest answer, the way the Achronim understand is that the Mor is saying there's no Isser of a Siyas Malacha, but again, there was an Anhaga that they would limit their work They wouldn't really work in Rosh Chodesh. So again, you see this idea of Sephora. It was sort of left up to Klal Yisrael to create this minhag. That being said, the Rambam mentioned there's a minhag that women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. We'll define what this in a second. Mishnah Berurah says men should not undertake this minhag. Men should not undertake this minhag. What malacha is referring to, that's not clear. The Bach says that when referring to women who work outside of the house, their employers should let them off for Rosh Chodesh. But in the house, they would do everything. The Rosh Hashulchan says they want to go outside to work, they want to go to work, they want to make money. That's not a problem. In the house, the husband should let her off, shouldn't have to do any work. Right? So if your Mach were like the Bach and the Rosh Hashulchan, you put her outside and inside, right? Or your Chayiv outside and inside, whatever you want to say it. But so that seems to be a little bit of a stira. But what seems to be accepted is that the main minhag was malachas, which are more specific for women. The common it was weaving, sewing, and washing clothing. So I saw about the name of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman said even though washing clothing, it was referring to not wasn't referring to washing machines. It was referring to when they would wash by hand. So that process would be very laborious. Rosh Chodesh is their Yom Tov, and let them relax a little bit. I think some people have a minhag. Even so, women don't do the wash. So the argument is nowadays is washing machines. Let the husband do it already. What's so difficult? Why the women? So the Torah brings from his brother that the three Moedim correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's a famous idea. The Yud Bei Shvatim also were going to have a minor Yom Tov. Each one of the Shvatim would have one of the minor, and that's why we also find that they have 12 months or 13 months, because we have different ways to calculate the Shvatim, 12 or 13, whether you include Avi or not, you include the Yosef is too, etc. Klai Yisrael was supposed to have that, and since Klai Yisrael was Koytov, but with the Eagle, they lost that schus. The women did not offer anything into the Chet Eagle. They didn't offer the jewelry. They refused to give the jewelry. So they weren't Chote. And in honor of that, they were zeched to get the Yom Tov, and to some extent, the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh. And that's why the minhag applies to women specifically. Dr. Moshe says you find in general, you find women seem to be tied to the lunar cycle. Because I'll understand that Vestas by women can be tied to the lunar cycle. That defines it. Magen Avraham says that there's no chiyuv to go and visit your Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh. There is a chiyuv on Regel, Chayiv Adam LeKabel Pnei Rabbi VeRegel. On Rosh Chodesh, however, it's not a chiyuv, but it's a mitzvah. And you see that from the story of Elisha and the Shunamis, that the child died. She told her husband she wants to go to the Navi and send her somebody to, an animal and somebody to lead the servant to lead the animal. He says, why are you going to the Navi? It's not Shabbos, it's not Chodesh. We indicate that on Shabbos and Chodesh they would go. There wasn't yet to go to see the rabbi on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Okay. There is,
so we understand there's a mitzvah also on Shabbos?
There's a mitzvah also, right? There is not a chiyuv, but there's a mitzvah.
Yeah,
Yom Tov is a chiyuv. At some point over Yom Tov, and the pashas, the reason for the law, but it was a chance to get some words of Torah. You could meet your Rebbe, so you get some type of chizuk. Where we say halal on Rosh Chodesh is very interesting. The Morah says that Rav came to Bavel. Rav was not from Bavel originally. He was from Bavel originally when he was very young, but he went up there to Israel and he learned his Torah by Rebbe and by Rav Chiya. He goes to Bavel and it's Rosh Chodesh and he sees the Chazan starts saying halal. So Sarah left the kin. He was about to go up to the Omer and say stop. There's no din halal on Rosh Chodesh. And he saw that they skipped. So he said, oh, it's a minhag, and that's their minhag. So that's what the reason why we skip in the halal. The reason why we skip is simply to indicate that it's only a minhag, not a chiyuv gomer. Since it's only a minhag, not a chiyuv gomer, that's why you will find that there are individuals who do not make a bracha on halal of Rosh Chodesh.
What is the argument for making a bracha?
So Tosis asked this question. Tosis in a few places. Tosis goes at length to prove that you can say vitzivonu on a minhag as well. Which it's a fascinating thought. What Tosis really seems to be saying is that the way we look at it, because that there is a concept of minhag avosin abideinu, we're bound by minhagim. So the tzivonu was not an improper statement to say about a minhag. It's not, it's a minhag, I can do whatever I want. No, the minhag is, and you have responsibility to maintain the minhag. So the language of tzivonu is not improper.
So would it actually be minhag
would have to be a universal minhag to get a bracha on it? I'm not sure. I would assume so, but I'm not sure.
And would you also say that you wouldn't say a bracha on something that doesn't have a makor as a chiyuv? In other words, you're saying a bracha on challah, which we do say the bracha on when it's a chiyuv, but if you were just saying challah because it's a minhag, would you make up a bracha or say that it's only a minhag?
Because
you're talking about be'ah for the bracha, and you're saying...
No, let's say for argument's sake, let's say for argument's sake, big discussion, can a city make their own commemorative day? There was a nace, they were in danger and they were saved, the city was besieged, or there was some evil decree and they were saved and they want to celebrate. Can they set it up for the generations to come as a day of celebration
and say a bracha on it, some kind of like,
and then the next question, can they say a bracha on it? So the first question is there any iser of baltoisa, are we doing anything wrong by creating this extra day? The assumption of most poskim is if it's clear that it's not, you're not putting on the level of a holiday of the derisa level, so then it's not considered bal tosif. So they could do that, and they can make it binding on the inhabitants of the city. They can do that. Can they institute certain things, special things to say? They could. Can they make a bracha on it? The assumption would be no. I'm not sure.
So what should you...
continuing this discussion, if you hold that you don't say bracha for halal and Rosh Chodesh, but you're davening in shul and Rosh Chodesh, you do say bracha. So, can you say a bracha because of the nir minhag makom? Are you allowed to say bracha based on that? So that's a fair question. The assumption is yes. Unless a person can. So Rav Avadya has a tshuva where he says that if immersion, they both talk about it. Immersion is if you can do it in a way which is unobtrusive, then you can follow your own minhag. So he says, but that the problem with this is a tefillah which is normally said quietly, so you can follow your own minhag. Tefillah which is normally said loudly, so first you would have to say quietly, you can't say it loudly. Everybody else in the bracha, and he's already starting the paragraph that he says, but the immersion then suggests that. Since it's difficult for a person to remember to say it quietly because these type of things in nature is to say them loudly, so a person should follow the minhag of the tzibur. And then you have any shalom neyabachloik is when mechayiv to say that. But the tzibur holds that nowadays the way we live that wouldn't apply anymore. There's no real binding minhag of mokum type of a thing that I can't do something different. You walked into some little town in Europe, they've been doing this for the last 600 years, this is the way they did it, that's Ayashan Ramey Amachloikis. We live in a melting pot, so that deserves a longer discussion.
So he's saying you don't have to do what everyone says?
You don't have to, right. He says you can do it out loud, etc. A very common issue you'll have is responding to, saying Kedusha, right? So if you listen to the people who follow Pesach Ravadja, they're going to say I'm saying the Kadesh, they'll say, everybody else is saying, Brichu, and they're saying Amen, out loud, so he'll just say it out loud.
Well, right, we can go to their
menu, too. Yeah. Rabbi Zatzal actually held, he went through the Pesach Ravadja, that you can't, so then we had this interesting dilemma. So Roger says you're not mechuyev to listen to right? You know, is the psak of the rov in the town binding upon him? Rav says, he says it in the psak. He says, you know, even if they tell you you can't say it out loud, you're allowed to say it out loud. They're saying don't be mishana. He says you're allowed to be mishana. So he says, well, you can't. But that's very nice. You can't go connect the rov. He says, well, he also could go connect the rov also. I said, I'm not sure he meant that. Careful how far you take these things. Some places what they do is they have the minhag is that Tosha says this is the minhag yourself to say a bracha. Tosha says you see it from the Gemara because Rav walked in and he says, "What's going on?" I mean, what's going on? They didn't say a bracha. Like, what was your question? So the fact that Rav was confused and he only realized it's a minhag once they skipped sounds like that he wasn't confused by the lack of bracha. If that would have been clear, he would have realized, that's a minig. They're not making a bracha. That's why it's a minig. So Tosha says, from that alone, you see that the minig was to say a bracha. And that's what Tosha said.
But isn't there a separate Indian of not saying halal every day? Like, isn't there an Indian of, like, shouldn't just stay stand say halal?
Right. They were saying, you got to say it every day. They were saying, but this is, you know, Ra wasn't bothered by that either. Right.
Doesn't that create another problem for the bracha because you're not actually saying halal?
So that only creates a problem if you have the nusach of the Rambam. The Rambam says the bracha was ligmor es ha-halel. So according to the Rambam, the bracha is ligmor.
Oh, okay.
So you have to be very careful that you may say every word, right? Because you know we don't say a lot of ligmor to complete. So you know.
Okay.
So. I mean, I have to tell you, just as an aside, just. I always found the idea of the bracha shir kinsam sof tivonu likroy sahalel a fascinating thought process. So listen, God commanded us to stand there and praise Him. Like, you know, if I don't want to praise, so listen, not only is it praising, but God said I had to praise, so therefore I'm praising. That's not a praise, right? You know, it's like, so what's that message? I think the message is I think the message is the opposite. Human being wouldn't have the audacity to come and praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Bershon said, listen, I know I want you to. Oh, now I have the opportunity to. That's the way you have to think about it. But otherwise, like, you know, I'm not only wanted to praise him, but God said so. I don't even do it. It's like, you know, say thank you. You know, you tell a little kid, like, you know, like, that's, you know how much it's worth, you know. Bobby feels so much better now that the kid did it after you said that, right? Okay, the Eben Ezra, so just finish up a thought of it. The Eben Ezra goes back, just going back to the original question, what's lashon Rosh Chodeshem, your Chodesh, why is it your Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh. Why is it your Rosh Chodesh, your Chodesh? So we said that the Aruch Chaim says it's because that the Bezin would decide when Rosh Chodesh was, so it's your Chodesh. So the Purna says that it's called your Chodesh because Klaisa was the ones who made it really into that unique day by the Minhagim, which Klaisa will establish, and that's already hinted to in the Torah that this is what the Rosh wants us to do. The Ibn Ezra brings up shot from the Ramach, Ramosha Kohen, that he says that it's actually referring to Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodeshem, in the beginning of your months. You have 12 months. Kleisel has it at the beginning, and Kleisel's 12 months start in Nisan, like you have in Parshas Bo.
Shouldn't
Rosh Hashanah that you bring these Kerbonis, and then the end of the Parsha says Zois Olas Chodesh B'Chodshoy, and then you should continue to do the same type of thing in all the other months of the year as well.
So then shouldn't it be Rosh Chodeshem instead of Rosh Chodeshem?
So that is a good question. I don't, he doesn't seem to address that question, but Eminences are very difficult to find out because he says he has a few words over there, but I'm not sure what he means. So it could be he's addressing that in that sentence, but I couldn't figure out. Like he's clearly referring to something, and I'm not sure what he's referring to. So then it would be interesting to say that, but again, you see this idea that Torah is stressing. It's your, there's something special. Kleisel has something special. And the way they're going to respond to it, the way they're going to respond to it, the Torah says, is by being a korban, by doing something special for that day. It's something which is special for Kleisel. It's the beginning of, this is the month which Kleisel became Kleisel, etc. And we need to, and the Torah is stressing that that's why we're doing this. And then, we'll do all the other months as well. Okay.